Hey. Oh, hey, everyone. Hi. Welcome to So Sister Radio. You may have caught me just singing into the intro song. My name is Susan Mullen, and I am an intuitive and certified intuitive coach. And I'm joined by my soul sister, Paula Hillick, who is an author and founder of the Think, Care, Share movement. And the thing about this show is we never know where the conversation will take us. So, you know, we want you just to buckle in or settle in, get comfy, put your feet up, grab your cup of tea, glass of wine, whatever have you tonight, and join us for the conversation. The call-in number I want to put out there first, and we will come back to this, is 1-917-889-7074. So at any point during the show, feel free to call in and just share, say hello, ask a question, or let us know how your day is going. So tonight's conversation is centered around, does what we think really create the life we want? And you know, that can take us anywhere. We start with, you know, a center, but we, you know, we're unscripted. We may kind of know what we want to talk about, but we do like spirit to lead or the divine, and we just go from there. And we feel those are the best conversations. So we don't know what's in store tonight, but we know the two of us are here. We know, we hope you are listening and want to call in, so... Anyway, I am going to say hello to Paula right now. How are you?
Hi, Susan. How are you? Hi, everybody who's listening. Thank you so much for joining us and letting us share our stories and hopefully get to hear your stories and just maybe help each other along the way.
Yeah. Thank you. And... Exactly. So, and right now, I want to pull a card because I like, you know, both of us, we like to start the show with just insight and a little bit of inspiration, knowledge, and something that will speak to our collective audience. So, let's see, Paula, I'm just shuffling my cards, and I would like to ask the guides, the highest team, the archangels, to pull a card for the collective audience tonight, our audience, and what we need to know that will serve this conversation or anybody listening. And, here we go. So let me read it to you. To everybody. Okay. So this says, you are whole and have everything you need within. And this was in a reversed position. The past has a way of repeating itself when you haven't learned the lesson inherent in the original situation. You're faced with this now. This card is here to challenge you to see yourself as a whole being and not one who is perpetually trying to heal an old wound. You'll repeat the past if you don't reclaim the things you believe were lost. The information you seek lies in your history. Familiarity, in this case, isn't an invitation to dance the old dance once again. Instead, it is a call to retreat and choose differently. This card has a message. If you do what you did, you'll get what you got. Her warning is delivered with kindness, for she has deep love and respect for you. She will always protect you. And this card was called the Bone Collector. And that is a very powerful and important card in this entire deck. And it's sort of the basis for, like, what I do when I work with people or, you know, my clients. And we always tend to, it always starts there. It's always bringing us back to something, you know, that we need to dig up and look at. So I thought that was very interesting.
Well, so, you know what? So the name of the show this week was Creating the Life You Want, What Is to Be Is Up to Me. And the card you got specifically said, if you keep doing what you did, you'll get what you always have gotten.
Right. Right. I looked at that when I'm familiar with the cards, and I looked at the name of it, and I saw the Bone Collector, and I'm like, wow, because the little tiny bullet points I sort of wanted to bring up tonight, it was from there. It was sort of like, wow, that was really incredible.
And I know you're never surprised when it's a perfect card that gets pulled, but it always does kind of blow me away. Do you know what I mean? It's such a perfect card. And so, like, we could take every line of that card and discuss it and its relevance to tonight's show, like, if we really wanted to do it.
Right.
And, I say to you every day, every week we do this show, I want to get a deck of those cards. So maybe you could tell the people who are listening what cards you're reading from, actually, and maybe where they could get them.
Yeah, so these are Colette Baron Reed's cards, and she is my teacher and mentor. It's, you know, I went through her Master Intuitive Coaching Institute, and she is really, I mean, she's a Hay House author, speaker. She just did a complete tour in Canada, and she lives in Canada. So,
oh my gosh.
She's a Canadian. Yeah, she's a Canadian. She's fantastic. And
where does she live?
So I don't know. And if I did, I probably wouldn't say it.
Okay.
But I don't know. And I really don't, though. But I know she's Canadian, and I from my circles, I hear she's gone back now. So she's been in the States a long time. She really made a mark, and she's incredible. I followed her for probably 15 years. She's been to the States, and, you know, she's a psychic medium, really, and intuitive. But anyway, so I'm one of her students, and so this is her website is ColetteBaronReed.com, and that's Reed, R-E-I-D. And she has a wonderful blog. She has products, and she's just fantastic. And she has several decks of cards. This deck that I tend to always use is called the Enchanted Map deck. So if anybody wanted to get that, and then as we pull them each week, it would be interesting. It comes with a booklet, and you can read everything I'm reading. It's great. I love oracles. I love anything that can allow us to use a tangible object while we talk to our guides or divinity and just pull in a message for ourselves. And it's always for our highest good. So anyway, that's that.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for asking. Because that's important to know. So,
what do you want to talk about first this week, Susan?
Well, I'd like to ask you, because I haven't talked to you a lot this week, how has your week been, you know, and or day? Like, how is the energy in your life? Because I like to start there. Mine's been kind of crazy, so I'm curious about you.
Well, I think one of the reasons I wanted to have this as a topic this week, I don't even know where to start, Susan. It seems like really everything seems so complex in our ego world, you know what I mean, and simple in our divine world, but really hard to get there. As you know, we've been all struggling through Mercury in retrograde. I was traveling 2 weeks ago for work. My husband was away last week for pleasure. I feel like it's just been a crazy couple of weeks with all the things that are involved in a Mercury retrograde, issues around traveling, communication, technology, glitches and breaking down, and moodiness and people and things just seeming very difficult. It's honestly been a rough couple of weeks. In terms of my own mood, I'm someone who talks about live, you know, creating the life you want to live, and I always talk about being as happy as you can be, because that's really part of the secret, right? That, you know, the secret is about attracting the things that you want to you, and the way to do that is through positivity, and, you know, you are a vibrational match for what you're putting out into the universe. So if you're putting out positivity, positive things come back to you, and if you're putting out negativity, negative things come back to you, and who wants the negative bits and pieces? But, you know, when you find yourself in a bit of a funk, even when you know these things, just like everything else, most of us know what the proper things are to eat, but we don't always do it. Most of us know we should be exercising, but most of us don't get enough of it. So it's just like everything else. You can know what to do, and then doing it can be a bit tougher. But as you know, I'm a lifelong learner, and the best way to learn something is to teach. And when I feel in a funk, you know, I want to talk about it with people, and I want to share my experience, and I want to hear what people do to lift themselves out of it, and I want to practice what I preach and do the same. And so that's why I love being connected to you and getting to talk to you, because you remind me of all of those things. When I'm down, you lift me up, and when you're down, you know, I lift you up, and that's the whole point of this show. So I wanted to get together tonight and just talk about where I am and where you are, because I know you've been having a rough time. You talked a little bit about it last week, and some of the things that, you know, that have helped me in the past and that I turn to over and over and over again to help lift me up when I'm feeling I'm in a bit of a funk. So I don't know if you want me to talk about those things now, or if you want to take a turn and tell everybody sort of what your couple of weeks have been like. It's up to you. We can do either or.
Okay, yeah, I'll just say a little bit here, because then and we'll go on, because I think it's great. I think what you're saying is so relevant and important, and if it's sitting right with me, like everything you just said, I was me this last week or two, and I feel that it's a lot of people. And you know, I did a lot of retrospection and self inventory work, you know, I wasn't 100%, I wasn't 75% happy or okay with myself this past week in a lot of ways. And I had to look at that. I had to feel what was going on. I had to be aware. So this is what I did. It was like I had to go, whoa, where is this coming from? What's triggering me? What wound? What energy is going on in the world? So you put everything together in this pie and you bake it. And you can come out with your own recipe. Like my recipe is different from yours. It's different from the person listening. It's different from the person I talked to this week. It's different from my doctor I might have seen. You know, we all have a special recipe with energetic stuff and physical stuff. And I really had to look at mine. Because I it wasn't my best week in a lot of ways. And I just found myself retreating and turning inward and figuring out some things. So it was a learning curve. I'm like, if we're still in Mercury retrograde, which we are, I'll tell you, I'm really happy to see this go away because I really need, you know, I just kind of need different energy. I need to tune into something differently, but I know I can, and that's the whole point. It's like, I know I can. It's my choice. It's like walking through. It's like, okay, so we have a snowbank in front of us. Like, I'm from Maine. You're in Canada. Yeah, we have to be somewhere in 10 minutes, and we're walking through a snowbank. We know how to walk faster. We know how to get through mud if we have to be somewhere harder. We have to work against things sometimes and to still get there on time or to still show up. That's what I felt like I've been doing in the last week or two. Doesn't mean it's wrong. It means my Mercury retrograde, my recipe was to look inward on a lot of different areas in my life. And I did. And I still am. So tell me what you think. What does this mean to you? Or
I love what you said about, like, you know, it's the same idea that not every diet works for everyone. Not every type of exercise is for everyone. So you have to find the thing that fits for you. And I guess all we're trying to do, you and I, is just because, again, you and I have talked about how our differences really complement each other. You're very much in the body, and I'm much more often in the brain. And I'd like to be a lot more in the body. And even at the beginning of this show, I had a very stressful day. I think I was almost hyperventilating with the anxiety of my day. And you recommended to me that I put my arms up over my head and take three deep breaths, and that if at the very least my mind wasn't centered and settled, my body would be, which was like just such a beautiful, easy exercise to do that I didn't know about doing. I mean, I knew about three deep breaths, but I didn't know about lifting arms over my head. And secondly, even sometimes, again, when you know about what you should be doing, you need a reminder, You know, when you go take a course, you hear something that you heard before, but you had forgotten about, and you go, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I'm going to try that. Or I loved it when I used to do it. I'm going to try that again. And you and I talk a lot about how all of these things are a practice. If you work out and you get, you know, really great shape, it's not like you can quit working out and 3 years later you'll be in that same shape. You have to keep working towards things. And that's how I feel about all of the things that are in this topic that we're discussing today. 20 years ago, I've shared this with everyone, I think my first university degree was really self-therapy, because I grew up in such an upside-down family. I didn't know what was real or what I didn't know what was appropriate. Everything was upside down for me. I didn't know what appropriate behavior was. I hadn't been taught a lot of skills in terms of impulse control or, you know, emotional intelligence and self-management. I really had to learn a lot of that as a young adult. And in my 20s, what I would say is I spent a lot of time in reflection, feeling and thinking about the things that didn't bring out my highest self. So the things that I reacted negatively to and that made me unhappy. And I would definitely say my 30s might even have been a break from a whole lot of things, because I was, you know, raising a little boy. And now that I'm in my 40s, I think that I've learned a lot. And when things are happening, even though I'm in a mood, I know that it's temporary. Nothing is permanent. I will be coming out of it. And I know what things to go back to that work for me. Reading really works for me. I don't love meditation, I'll tell you, because I'm just such a type A personality that calming, you know, settling down is hard for me, but I need it. So it's like anything else. I think that I don't like going to the gym, but when I go to the gym and work out and it's over, I feel magnificent and fantastic, and I'm so glad I did it. That's the same way with meditation. I always say that I don't like doing it, but when I do it, I feel great about it. But, you know, I will say, you know, a couple of things that were watershed moments for me in the last few years. So I had done all the internal work, a lot of the internal work, identifying the issues, the reactors, the things that triggered me that were in my life, and then worked on coming up with alternative behaviors, because all emotions are fine. It's our responses to that emotion that might not be fine. And also it's our framing to ideas in our lives that create those emotions. So I really worked on reframing things. And if that fails, then working on how to manage myself emotionally in terms of my behavior. But, you know, I was really stuck for a long time because I felt like I wasn't living the life I was meant to live. And I had a lot of fear about proceeding with the life I was meant to live, which is, you know, really what I'm creating now with Think, Care, Share. So there were a few things, Susan, that, you know, I eventually got to. But again, you know, sometimes I'm better at it than others. Sometimes I'm more open than others. So, you know, one of the things that I had to do is finally say yes, because for a lot of years I was saying no to the things really deep-seated inside of myself that I wanted to do, that were my passions. I would tell myself the reasons why that wouldn't work, or it wasn't a good idea, or it wasn't safe, and I would talk myself out of it. And so if you've got your whole higher team working towards putting you on the path that you should be on, and you're blocking it, then you're going to be frustrated and unhappy and discontented. And that's what I would say to people who are listening. If you are frustrated and unhappy and discontented, you are blocking. You've got a team that's trying to present the path to you, and you're frustrated because you aren't happy where you are living the life that you're living, but you're blocking all of the messages. So the first thing was for me to start saying yes. And that was simple. That was saying yes to offers that were made to me, where in the past I would say no. Even like the offer, Susan, to come out and do that course with you, with John Holland, that would have been a no from me in the past. And I think it was kind of a no in the beginning. And then I had to go back and say, this is an offer from the universe. Say yes. And so I said yes. And then the second big thing for me was, then ask for help. If I'm now going to be saying yes, then ask them to show you the way. Ask them, you know, tell them, I know I'm not meant to be here, or I would be happy about it. You know, I know that there's things that I'm meant to be doing. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to get from here to there right now today. Please show me how. And then the third thing that I always say is you have to follow the crumbs. So, you know, I have a girlfriend. She financially, she's very well off. But inside, she's just not happy. She doesn't feel like she's living her life purpose. She always says to me she doesn't know what her life purpose is. But when things present themselves, she always goes, no, that's not it. And, you know, I don't know that we're all meant to snap, have our life, be living our life purpose immediately. You know, I know what my life, I think I know what my life purpose is, and it may change along the way. But to get there are steps that you have to take. It's not going to be, you know, from A to Z all at once. So follow the crumbs because, you know, that is the path that will connect you to this person, connect you to that event, connect you to this place that will eventually get you to where you want to be. I know that sounds fairly easy, and the biggest obstacle to beginning and continuing on that path is really fear. And we come back to fear over and over and over. You know, but that's a whole other conversation, addressing, identifying and addressing your fears. Today it's just really about what can you do to get out of a funk and just even begin to have the idea that you can have the life that you want, you can create the life that you want. So where do you start?
Yeah.
What do you do? What do you think?
Right. Oh, yeah. Those are great points and great. I love hearing, you know, I just love listening to you talk and, you know, where you came from and how things work out for you. And I was just writing a couple things down and, you know, like, you know, when we talk to each other, this is what the conversation's about. It's like, oh, let me just pick up on this. And, you know, when you were saying like blocking, you know, when we're blocking something, you know, I just, the first word that came to my head was trust. So when we're blocking, we're not trusting what we're getting. Because we're looking at it and we're choosing to block something, that means we don't trust it. Why? What is there not to trust? And so that just came up for me because that does come up for me. That's happened to me this week. Like, why am I blocking something? What am I not trusting? I'm being delivered something or I'm being asked to deliver something or be something or show up. You know, it's always, it's so funny today, Paula, and of course we don't talk. So I did this whole thing on purpose, on like life purpose. I was writing a blog and you just brought this up and, you know, and it came down to our life purpose, like really our life purpose, your life purpose is to be you. My life purpose is to be me. And when we feel we're not fulfilling our life purpose, we're allowing ourselves to be something we did not come here to do or be. So that is that disconnect. That is just what I've found in myself, what I find when I with my clients and what we figure out and work on. And I'm hearing this from guides and other people's guides. So that came in a nutshell to me. And our job as human beings is to deliver ourselves to the world without the filters, without the conditioning, without the teachings and the dogma. And the if that works for you and that's why you, what you came here to do or be, perfect. That is your fuel and you will not feel discontent. For me, it might be different. That may not be my fuel and I may feel discontent. All that means is I'm not being me. So I'm not living my purpose. It's really that simple, but it is not simplistic because human beings, oh, we're just so, you know, a little baby is born and they're just so happy and love everybody. They're going to go love a turtle. They're going to kiss a snake. They don't care. They're going to look at different colored people. They're going to look at all kinds of things without judgment because they're just showing up from the other side. And it's like, we're really always trying to get back to that. We're always trying to, you know, remember. It's almost like, what have I forgotten? Everything is so cloudy and foggy the older we get. But if we can not allow ourselves to let the world dim all these things and how we play, how we laugh, how we just look, you know, look at each other. I've always felt like Helen Keller. Everyone thinks, you know, poor thing. Well, she's the wisest. Everybody still quotes her. She did not, her gift, I really believe a gift of hers is not being able to see and hear, you know, and speak. Like all she could do was exist and be and just come out of her life and her experiences with the beautiful intact soul that she really showed up with. She wasn't, I don't know, I just didn't think, I just feel like, I don't know why she came to me, but she didn't have all of these filters of sight, sound, teachings, and, you know. So I think a lot of discontent is when we are just not ourselves. So if we don't like what we're doing or it doesn't suit us, and when I say us and we, I'm talking about myself as well, I'm always like pulled in. I'll go away for 4 or 5 days and I'll just unplug from media and just go, what is going on and why now? What is the message? What am I supposed to do about it? And it always has to come back to, how can I get out of this myself by still being me? And I have to break up with certain things, people, ideologies. I have to do a lot of releasing. You know, the older we get, we all do, because we've built it up. So.
And when you say releasing, what do you mean by that, Susan?
It means releasing maybe passed down beliefs, the way certain phrases, certain things I believed about myself or people told me, possibly things, energetic people, places, and things that in my house, it could be clutter. It could be a person. It could be somebody I've outgrown and somebody who outgrew me but wouldn't release me. I need to be the bigger person and walk away. And that's happened to me more than once.
How do you release your past down beliefs, Susan? How do you release those? How do you do it?
For me, I guess I was lucky enough or fortunate enough. When I went into coaching and went into Colette Baron Reed's, really, her program, I spent a good year with other coaches being, you know, their volunteers. I had to be a student before I could be in her classes. So I got the benefit of this work. And I just was taught, it's what I do now, is everything that I may, you know, have that comes out of my mouth, comes out of my thought, anything that feels programmed or this is just the way it always was, this is how it is in my house, this is what so-and-so said of me, this is what I've always said and done. I look at that and I see if that works with me where I am now or if it ever did. Sometimes it's inherited. We inherit other people's stuff and pass down belief systems. It doesn't mean any of it's right or true. It means it was for them. We were in their life. We got born into their life, or we showed up and we heard it too. But we're also allowed to be individuals. That's really what we came here to be and do. So we have to look at the things that aren't working for us anymore. And when we really don't believe in it anymore, or maybe really never did, and we're just questioning and tossing it out. It's like going through an attic in a house or a basement. Our life has all the qualities of a home, if you think about it. We have our basement. We have our front door. It's where people still come and go. But the attic and the basement are storage areas. And human beings have that too. That's our clutter. That's our mind stuff. That's our energetic makeup. And that is, you know, that could be generations of what we're, it's not tangible. It's not like passing down an antique piece of furniture. But a lot of belief systems are antique or just stored, and it's causing us to carry it wherever we go. So we have to look at them sometimes. If we want to feel lighter, we can look at things in our physical and energetic attic and basement and clean it out. And it could take an intuitive coach. It could take a therapist. It could take a best friend. It doesn't matter. It could take a good movie and a good cry. It doesn't matter. It just means looking at yourself really as a soul instead of a person in this life, in this family, in this job, in this, you know, let go of that and go, I'm just a soul in this body. What would happen if everything and everybody around me just went away? Who would I be and what would I keep in my house? So, I'm going to toss this or that. So does that make sense? I feel like I'm rambling.
No, it totally makes sense. There's a lot in there. You know, we always say the truth is too important to be true. And the truth, although it's simple, like you say, it's not easy. And I want to unpack a couple of things that you said, because I do agree our teachers can be therapists or coaches or best friends or movies. I think it depends how much crap you're carrying and how tightly it's wedged in there. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes
I do, and a lot of people don't know their own crap until they start unpacking, and that's true. Yeah,
exactly,
so
and then sometimes it's so big that everyone does have to find that thing that works for them. What I knew, and I've shared this many times with you and even on this show, was that I had done this degree, I had taken courses, and I had worked with therapists, and I had gone to classes and read books and talked with friends. And there were some things I could not shift. And what worked for me was hypnosis. And when I was first introduced to it, I was all like, oh, God, I'm not doing any of that crazy regression stuff. Like, that's just for hippies and weirdos, you know? And so I started with very kind of clinical hypnosis where we worked on the tapes, you know, the ideas that I had in my subconscious. And a lot of those had to do with trust. And when I was because you're not under, like, you're not asleep, but you're in a relaxed state. And when I was in those relaxed states, I had a couple of experiences with the therapist that really showed us just how deep-seated my mistrust of people were. And I think I've shared it with you, Susan. I'll do it very quickly. She had counted me down into a meditation and was doing your standard walk along the beach, look back at your footprints. And she said, leave all your unhappiness behind you. And I was lying on the table saying to myself in my own mind, did she say leave your happiness behind you? Like, is she trying to, you know, mess with me? I didn't use the word mess. I used another word. I was lying there saying, come on, Paula, this is a therapist. She's not trying to harm you. She's trying to help you. And then in that session or another session, she used the expression and enjoy, meaning and, I-N-J-O-Y, and enjoy, do something. But when I heard enjoy, my mind twisted it and made the word injury. So it was more like enjoy, like that. That's how it became in my mind lying there on the table. And again, I was like, she's trying to mess me up. Like, she's trying to screw with my mind, this kind of stuff. And each time when I would be counted up and I would sit up, I would tell her what had what had happened. And that was a real realization to me that people could be saying things to me in my conscious working world that I was really mistrustful of and probably shouldn't have been, that I was really very mistrustful of everyone. That was a beginning for me with hypnosis. But as I got into, into this discovering myself as a soul and, meeting my guides and learning about angels and really getting connected with, the ascended masters, Jesus particularly, and I started doing more regression kind of therapy with hypnosis and meeting myself at a soul level and meeting the people in my life at a soul level. So I understood their role in my life and what our soul contracts were to each other. And that's when it really started to shift things for me in terms of seeing myself as this petty person in the world with an ego and my problems here and realizing that I was a soul that had come here to evolve and to grow and to share my gifts with the world. And then your perspective becomes very different, right? You know, a lot about much of our mood is determined by how we see things. And so if you are framing things where you are a victim or people are trying to screw with you, you're not going to be very happy. But if you start framing things that you are in a way where you are a soul who's on this marvelous adventure and everybody, good or bad, in this life who's on this marvelous adventure with you agreed to do it and has come forward with you, everything you see you start to be grateful for. And I think one of the expressions I use is something like entitlement kills gratitude, because if you feel entitled to things, then you're never really grateful for them. And actually, Susan, I was saying my husband had been away, and I think I really had started to take him for granted until he went away, and I realized just how much he did around here to help me. And so he was really back tonight for the first time, and I was filled with so much gratitude and love and joy and just sheer happiness for the things that he was doing to help me, whereas I can tell you times before when he was doing those things, I really wasn't happy with the quality of his work. You know what I mean?
Exactly. The quality of his work. You know, I do know what you mean, and I know, and I understand what you're saying. It's like, you know, and that's like tonight's topic is, you know, what is to be is up to me, right? So it's a frame of mind, and it's sometimes, and this came to my mind too, it's like ignorance is bliss. Well, in a lot of ways it is. When we know more, it's like, what, you know, Maya Angelou says, when you know better, you do better. Well, I don't want to always know better because that means I have to step up and do better. Even when those around me aren't, they're not on board. They're not, not everyone in our life is on board with maybe what you and I talk about. Like, I tend to go deep. I go right into the mind. You know, I'm always trying to connect. But, I'm, you know, and I'm always trying to, you know, archive, you know, dig up something and look at it, like, and go, what are we doing with it? Toss it. That's me.
And sometimes people are just like, God, I just want to talk about the tuna casserole. You know, I'm not really into the whole soul talk tonight. You know,
sometimes
it is very much too deep for, you know, just hanging out on a Saturday night.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, but right. And it's like the mood or, you know, our frame of mind, all it is like for me, it's like, it is that simple. It's like, look at, and like, for me, it was like, look, is this serving you? No, I know it's not. Okay. So it's not serving me. So what does that mean? Does it mean a positive, you know, am I trying to get positive? And it's like, well, no, I don't know that I'm ready for that either. And that's okay. It's like, I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm not ready to be positive, but I am ready and open to be aware. And that is the only thing we can ask each other. Like, we can ask of ourselves or anyone.
Well, you can't fake it, right? If you're not feeling positive, you cannot fake it. But there are things you can do, like little things you can do in the moment that can help lift your mood. And I think it's Esther Hicks, right? You know, Abraham Hicks and Esther Hicks. And she says, you know, start with the mood you're in and try to go to the next best, you know, emotion. Right? I don't have an emotional chart sitting in front of me, but you can Google emotional charts and whatever, you know, find out where you are on that chart and then make it your intention just to move to the next emotion on that chart. You know, Susan, I was talking to you on Saturday, and I had plans to go meet up with three other moms in the neighborhood with our kids and have a barbecue because all our husbands were out of town. And I said to you, I'm just in a funk. I don't want to go. You know when you're in one of those moods, and I had actually done some of the things that would pick me up, like dancing or music or, you know, my gardens or whatever it was, but I still was feeling like, you know, I just don't want to go over there. And you had said to me something like, well, you know, I think the expression you used was something like, the small you is demanding attention, or, you know, like, there's the higher you and then the little you know, and you were like, well, for some reason, the little you is demanding some attention today, and maybe the best thing to do is just honor that little you and say, you know, what's wrong? What do you need? You know, just allow yourself to be in that mood. And I said, you're right. You know, so I'm going to go over there and I'm going to just aim for being open and humble and kind. Because I wasn't in any of those kinds of moods. You know what I mean? I was in the opposite of that. And when I got there, I think I blew into the place like a storm, like literally, like flap the shutters back kind of mood. Do you know what I mean? And
I
laid it on the line when I stormed in, and I was just like, well, this is what's been going on for me this week, and, you know, I'm feeling in a bit of a funk, and I was thinking about not coming, but, you know, you guys always make me feel better, and here I am, and if I'm not in the best mood, I hope you forgive me. And they all thought it was hysterical. They all appreciated the fact that I sort of blew in so honest, and it ended up being a really great night. It really actually did. I left in a much better mood. We all had our kids there, and when we have our kids there, we don't tend to stay up that late, but it was 11:30, and we were all kind of like, you know, I think most of the boys were having sleepovers, and we were all kind of like, we should get going and, you know, let these kids get to sleep. But it was a really nice night. And it just started with allowing, like you said, allowing that not so positive space to be there because I guess it needed to be. And doing the things
exactly.
that I could do physically to lift my mood, but just being aware that it wasn't going to be permanent. And it was just a mood because of recent events. And I, you know, I am moving my life forward in a positive direction, you know, every single day with the things that I do differently in my life every single day. So I love that piece of advice that you gave me on Saturday. And I love the advice that you're sharing here today, which is, you know, sometimes the best you can do is just awareness.
That's right, and being honest. And I love that you went in there honest because I hadn't talked to you, and I love hearing these things live on the air because I didn't get that follow-up from you. So I think that's awesome. And sometimes I sound too technical or too whatever, woo-woo, I don't know what the word is, but it's like, you know, it's all about being honest. Just be honest with yourself, honest with the current conditions. Suddenly, all the walls melt. The people in front of you, you're allowing them to be honest too. And it's like, hallelujah. And that's what this show's about. It's like, honest to God, it's like if somebody could call in right now, I would love it, and go, what did you do this week that maybe you blew it? Maybe you showed up where you didn't want to. You know, you didn't. I myself had a conversation this week with somebody I care about, like somebody I respect. And I was not my best. I was not my highest self. I was just all these things. You know, my intentions were there. My heart was wide open. My best did not come out. And so what? So what? Am I going to beat myself up? No. Will I look at it and go, something about that had to happen or whatever? And, you know, like you, it's like I blew in too. And I, you know, maybe it was just putting, it's just having perspective, being, letting yourself be, you know, be okay with it. It's like, I'm okay. If I can't be okay with me on my worst day, nobody else in my life can. I can't expect anybody else to be okay with me on my worst day. So it starts internally. It starts with us. And I've got to let myself off the hook more often than I do, because otherwise I'm just going to hang myself out to dry. And if that happens, it's very hard to look at others. We don't hold others to the standards we do ourselves, right? So we have to just start getting on a different playing field of everyone's okay. We see things in the news all the time that's awful. I mean, awful. And then we're expected to just go on and be okay and happy. We don't know what's affecting us. We hear something. Our psyche is processing so much every day and every second, especially with social media. How can we even begin to get into our psyche and into our energetic space and just go on and just have a great time talking about, you know, cupcakes and butterflies? It's not going to happen in today's world. So we have to, it's okay. It's okay if it does. It's okay if it doesn't, is sort of the point.
Yeah, you know.
Right? It's a permission slip.
I love the way, Susan, for you, you have given me permission to allow my little self, my not so higher self, because I always felt a tremendous amount of pressure. I felt a tremendous, I was going to say to be perfect, but I don't know if that's the right, I don't think I ever held myself to the standard of being perfect, right? I think it has more to about being real. I think most of us feel like we have to put our social faces on and act like we're fine and happy and unharmed, even when we're not.
Right.
Right. We're afraid
to
share our softer selves or the part of us that's being hurt or isn't right with other people. And again, for me, that's certainly a trust issue. And you've helped me a lot with that, because at this age, at 48 years of age, what is anyone really going to do to hurt me? I mean, emotionally.
That's right.
What are they really going to do? Not like me? I'm kind of over that.
Right.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? Not invite me to their cottage? I'm kind of over that, too. It's really great to be at this stage of your life where you're like, I'm good staying home.
Yes. Right.
You know, people can't.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry, I keep cutting you off there, Susan.
I'm hearing a little bit of feedback, too. I don't know what that's from. Mercury, go away.
yeah.
Anyway, So repeat that. What was that again?
I think for a lot of us are afraid of being our real self because of some reaction from someone else. And I sometimes go through this with my colleagues when I'm talking to them about dealing with their clients. And something will be happening, and they won't be honest or direct with their client because they're afraid of not getting the sale, or afraid of that person saying something about them reputationally, or maybe we aren't our real self because we're afraid we won't get invited back to the party, or we won't be included in that
right.
social group of, you know, a bunch of hockey parents going to a cottage or whatever it is. And for me, I really have let all of that go. I honest to God have, because what I found out is, truthfully, I think this is why it's so great to be on the precipice of my 50s, and I've heard people say this about their 50s, that 50s really is the age where you let go of caring. It's not that you're going to be uncaring and you're going to want to hurt people, but you let go of caring what other people think about you, and you want to live in a more authentic fashion, and especially for women, because a lot of us will have raised our children by then. We're looking at expressing who we really are and what we want to do in the world. And, you know, if you go and you look at my Think, Care, Share Facebook page this week, a lot of it has really been about finding joy, like in the little things. Like there's a little girl dancing in a tutu. I just love the video. There's another video of people dancing in a train. I definitely think that music and dance is one really easy way to lift your mood and your spirit in the moment, right?
Yes.
You find yourself in a funk, put on some fun music, look at a fun video of people dancing, or dance yourself. It'll make you happy. You know, I've posted some things, like much like you talking about Helen Keller earlier, where a man didn't start his painting career until he went blind. It was his blindness that allowed him to see himself and be a painter. And his work is beautiful if you look at that video on my Facebook page.
Sure.
So everything that I feel like I posted 9 common traits of happy people, you know, intuition and wisdom of the body, letting your body show you where the crumbs are and lead you to your happy life. I posted something from Abraham Hicks talking about you can never have a happy ending at the end of an unhappy journey. We have to figure out how to make our moments happy, which makes our days happy, which makes our lives happy. If you're waiting for the happy life to come and then you're going to be happy, it will never happen. You can't get to the happy life from unhappy moments. And I think somewhere... You know, somewhere here, either on this thing for the show or on my Facebook page, you know, I posted something that says, if you can't find it, then you have to make it. And for me, there was never a job, there was never a place that existed which was my happy place. My happy place is Think, Care, Share and making it, right? Developing, manifesting it, creating it in the world. That is my happy place. And it wasn't going to be something that already existed. Like for Walt Disney, his happy place was Disneyland. It
right.
didn't exist. He
exactly.
had to create it.
Mm-hmm. And he felt pulled to do so, as you do. And that's what made it happy, because you followed your breadcrumbs. You're like, oh, I found my happiness. I found a way to show the world who I am without having to show up. Or, no, that's not the right word. Without maybe necessarily showing up that way every single day. Like, you may not walk out of your house or go to work as Paula Hillick from Think, Care, Share, but it brings you happiness because it's you. What we give to the world is our purpose, how we deliver it. We're here to deliver, to be. We may make our living in different ways. And people, and this just reminds me, like, a lot of times I'll get clients going, but I'm a painter, I'm an artist, I'm a poet, I'm this and that. I'm like, I am too. Like, I
mm-hmm.
actually am too, and you are too, Paula, and at most everyone I know, we are. And just because currently we aren't making our living, we aren't paying our bills by who we are, does not mean, by any means, we stop being who we are. It doesn't even have to do with why we were born. Because you, Paula, with your book, with your Think, Care, Share, most likely will be how you're remembered far more than what you do 9 to 5 every day. Same with me. When we can find that marriage, and that can happen, and it It takes steps and there's work, and we can do it if we want to. We don't have to, though. That pressure of it's not my purpose because it's not how I make my living, that's bullshit. It doesn't have to be your purpose is to be you wherever you go. So bring Think, Care, Share to work. Or me, bring my intuitive shit. I don't know. I'm swearing. I'm sorry. Bring my stuff wherever I go, right? Because I don't care. This is an FCC, right? No,
there shouldn't be any kids listening at this time.
No.
You're okay.
18 and older show. 18 and older. So, no. But it's, I guess the point was just.
Well, I agree with you. Be who you are, right? I don't know. Steve Jobs, all these people say, find a way to do what you love and the money will follow. And for most of us, if you're like me, I didn't have a safety net. I had a lot of fear. So for me, it was get a job, pay your bills, have financial security. And obviously, I was meant to go through that path because it's taught me a lot of stuff. I know that I raised my son differently. I say to him, look, if you want to live off the grid in a shack in the woods, do that. But whatever it is you do, be really happy doing it. Do the thing that makes you really happy, and you'll find a way. Whatever it is that is your passion, your thing to do, find a way to find more time doing it. And like you said, Susan, it might not be the thing that pays the bills. And for most of us, it isn't. And often the thing that is paying the bills is the thing that lets us know we're not happy where we are. Because a lot of us, you know, I used to have a girlfriend that said, most of us, you know, that expression, plant yourself, or you grow where you're planted. Well, most of us, we didn't consciously choose where we planted ourselves, right? I didn't grow up in a family where my parents said, what would you really love to do? If you could do anything in the world, what would it be? Now go out and be that. No, my parents were like, get a job, you know? And then you were like, well, what's the closest one to here because I don't have a car? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It wasn't expansive idea, you know, that people have now, which I think is wonderful. I hope more people are working and living in their passion. But if you're not, my message today is you can begin. Start small, say yes, allow, follow the breadcrumbs. And if you don't know what your passion is, don't worry about it. Maybe you're not supposed to figure it out at this day. My whole idea of Think, Care, Share has been an idea that's been marinating maybe just for the last 2-3 years. But for 10 years, I've known that I'm not happy working in the industry I'm working in, or that most of my adult life was working in, and that it just wasn't the right space for me and I needed to be doing something else, but I didn't know what that thing was. So I just kept asking and listening and following the crumbs. And the more you do that, the clearer the picture comes. And again, there's some spiritual guru who talks about, you know, if you follow that path, eventually what was, 10,000 miles away will be right in front of you, right? But you have to take the steps. You know, I don't know what the quote is, Susan, something like a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step or something
step.
Like that. It's the same as this journey. You know, but
it
if
is,
you feel
and it's
stuck, if you do nothing, you will be where you are 10 years from now and 10 years from that.
Right. And you're right. And it's, you know, this reminds me, it's like what you were just saying, be okay with duality. It's okay. It exists because we're spiritual beings having a physical existence. So we're already dual. We're already merging, you know, what we came here as human beings to know and be. We're being raised to forget it all. And then towards the end of our life, we're always trying to grasp it again. It's a circle. And it's a duality. Be okay with it. Where are you on the Ferris wheel? I'm suddenly seeing this Ferris wheel. Oh, I'm going up right now. Well, somebody else is coming down. Somebody else just got on. Who cares? Be okay with yourself. Be okay where that person is. Be okay with where you are. Because there you go. Suddenly the tension rod just goes boom. There's nothing to worry about as long as we know it exists. We know we're in control of how we show up to our life every day. And if something doesn't sit right in our soul, or, you know, if we just don't get that yes in our bodies and in our soul, well, reconsider it. But it always comes down to the individual. We have to let go. We have to unpack our attic and our basement and just be aware that by the time we're adults, we're a full house. And we've got all kinds of passed down antiques. And we're talking energetic stuff and ideologies and all the things my mother said to me and yours has said to you. None of it's wrong, by the way. None of it is wrong. It's just to be considered. Do I keep it or pass it? We need a yard sale. We need to bring everything. You know, we have to unpurge too, just like we do when we move. You know, we might move, you know, a different house and get a new house. So we have yard sales and we purge and we get rid of things and we pass them on. So we just have to do that with ourselves and take inventory. And
I think, Susan, we've heard people say this a lot of times, like, we have to stop taking things really too seriously. Like, nothing is permanent, right? It really, nothing is permanent. And, you know, if we don't figure it out, this you know, spin around, you're going to come back, you know, if you choose, right?
That's right. And that's it. It's almost like, just remember, you know, some people believe that, some don't, but whether it's true or not, we'll find out. But if we're really not going to show up ourselves every day, it, you know, if I can be me and be my worst me to a really good person, I really hope they understand and can see it, sort of that namaste, and I'm okay, that's okay with me. I'm not necessarily embarrassed or, you know, anymore. I might have been as a younger person, but anything honest is really going to be received, I feel. Because when I receive that from people, I'm okay with it. I love an honest moment and an honest exchange because I understand it and I can feel that in people. So there's nothing negative about that. I can understand when somebody's having a bad moment or day and I forget it. It goes away instantly. And I wasn't always that way, and I don't feel people are always that way with me. It's just where we are. And it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means what we're capable of today, and to just give everybody a break, including ourselves.
Well, this is going to sound like a complete U-turn, but, you know, we're coming to the end of this show, and if, you know, if there's anything I want to sort of leave in the tapes of history on this show for anybody who's listening and also for my future self is that, you know, the way you spend your days turn into your years and your years turn into your life. And it happens really fast. And if it's not, you know, if it's not the life that you want to be living, find a way to change it. And you might not be able to change it overnight, but again, it's just a journey. Begin with one step, one action. And if you don't know what to do, just start asking for help, you know, to the universe, to God, to whoever you pray to. Say yes to the offers that come your way, allow them and be aware, and then follow the crumbs. And, you know, take a look at, if you're really unhappy, take a look at some of, you know, there's many things that you can just Google and look up ways to help yourself be physically happy, emotionally happy. There are lots of ideas that you can do. You can kind of trick your body into being happy and help bring your mind along the way. And then, you know, start looking at some soul work and start investigating yourself as a soul and what that means. I just found that whole idea very liberating. It turned my angst or my hate towards people into gratitude. And once you're in a space of gratitude, you know, there's no better spot to live your life by or from.
Right, because once you can get into that space, you realize what you're capable of. And the only person in the world to change is yourself. Everything else we're just reacting to. We're just reacting. And, you know, just remember, you know, we're responding or reacting. So just respond. Respond to yourself and others around you, because the only thing and point of power is ourselves. We can only change ourselves, not anything else or anyone else. So
I want to end with this Oprah quote before we say thank you, which is, stories shared around the world connect people and change lives. So thanks, Susan, for sharing your story with me today and everybody else.
So, Paula, where can we find you on the web?
You can find me at thinkcareshare.com, and I'm pretty active on my Facebook page, which is just Think Care Share.
great. And I can be found at SusanTMullen.com and on Facebook, Susan Mullen Intuitive Living. So thank you for a great conversation. I love it. I feel better knowing I'm not alone in the world. And
you're never alone, Susan. We have each other.
Never alone. I've got you. Got you every week, and I got everybody listening. So find us on the web, and we will see you here next week.
Take
Shine
care,
on,
everybody.
Soul Sisters. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.